Welcome to the EQ for Life podcast. EQ for Life is a podcast based on your views as a parent, a companion, an entrepreneur or business leader, and how learning to be smart about emotions plays out in everyday life. Thank you for participating in this podcast event, EQ for Life. And here's our host, Parrish Owen Taylor.
Because I could be a decent leader, and you can be on my crew, and you can say, man, I just don't like the way he does it. It's not like I've got to massage the team for you, because in this field, you can just say, I'll go find a new job tomorrow. Right. It's simple. It's easy to move on. So it's hard to keep a team of guys together who work well together, right, who won't just take off because, man, Parrish offered me $10 more per diem, man. That's $70 a week. I'm out.
Right.
Right. So the leadership in the field is different than leadership in the office. Far more turnover in the field than in the office.
Absolutely. You know, and the turnover will just bleed a bottom line. Again, we have a lot of contractors we work with that just still think a warm body and get them in there and just 50% turnover. Well, again, I don't want to get off on that too much, but, you know, Johnny, I think you're nailing it. You know, we would say to that younger generation that is not looking for a job, you know, again, not the storm chasers, but one that wants to make a career at a lifestyle, you know, it exists, you know, where you're going to get the good paycheck and you're going to like the people you work with. You know, I think, and again, there's a lot of focus in my experience in the last 10, 50 years about the field, about where you see the turnover, but again, where those relationships are so critical that if I don't like you and your personality pisses me off, but we're on a safety critical task, I need to be able to separate that. I need to be able to separate the fact that you and I are going to have a conversation later called full circle. But right now I need to have my mind on task. And again, like you said, if unsure, I mean, that's the part of the top three on human performance is, and on the unsure stop work part, I know you would agree and echo this. You have to cultivate that. You have to, I mean, you're talking about it all the time throughout the day. Yes. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a regular thing. And it's part of almost every morning brief. Right. I almost hate to make it part of every brief because it almost seems redundant, but if it's not safe, just don't do it. If something's not right, just stop. And I've said this in a bunch of my classes and everything else I've taught. So, and my numbers are a little old on this. So if a guy falls down and sprains his wrist, it's roughly a $60,000 cost to a company.
Right.
And I'll ask people in a class, you sprain your wrist, what do you think it costs? And most people are like, oh, maybe $3,000-$4,000. Right. Like, nah, it's close to $60,000. I've been part of investigations for many accidents, a couple of fatalities, unfortunately. And almost without fail, someone says something wasn't right that day. Something just felt off. And I just said, so why didn't you stop the job? Why? Well, I mean, just stop the job? Yeah, dude, literally just stop the job. Let's just say 6 trucks, 12-man crew, count everyone at $100 an hour. You stopped the job for an hour. Did we hit $60,000 yet? Nope. And we didn't damage the company's insurance rating.
Right.
If you're the kid who said something's wrong and we stopped for a half hour, hour, and find everything was fine, are you going to get a lot of crap? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But no one
right.
got hurt. That's more important.
Yeah, you're speaking volume. And again, you know, bloodshed, you know, we heard it from the friends on OSHA and safety. If there's a rule out there, it's because blood was shed. But it does trickle to the bottom line. Everything we do is increase shareholder value. So all the safety, all the training, everything we do. So when you look at an incident and you hit that workers' comp or all those indirect costs, you're right. An injury goes further beyond again, the individual's health and wellness. It has a financial impact, yes, to the company. But again, I guess the message is, and you said it right, I got the hair on my arm standing up. I feel it. I just don't know what it is. Yeah. Or, man, I'm sitting there putting it down together in my head. I'm thinking it. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't think this is right. So again, there's that thinking and feeling shit that we never have been trained on. That is just right. directly attached to emotional intelligence. So You're speaking volume, man. I think, again, we're in what I hope to be another transition in the industry, where we are now, again, out in the field, paying more attention to the relationships, the emotional climate, all in the interest of reducing errors, right? Error reduction.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of it, because it's, you know, I can't think of the name of it, but iceberg, there's a name for it. No, the little incidents, you know, they're big and they keep growing, and all of a sudden you've got a bigger incident and a big incident and a bad injury, and the peak of the iceberg is a fatality, right?
Yes.
So that's all part of it too.
Absolutely. I mean, this even goes to, you know, and the statistics you're talking about is that near miss and the series of decisions that are made up to what might become an incident. And the idea there is, if we can catch it. And I got to tell you, I go around the country. There's a lot of companies that are struggling with near miss reporting. You know, they're going to try to change it and add something different, you know, a near miss or a good catch. Or, I mean, we understand in the older culture, in the older ways, you kept your mouth shut.
So, yes, you did.
You know, there's this transition today that we're doing things better. And that's, I mean, that's one of the, out of the nine behaviors that we see in our Department of Energy Human Performance, asking questions, having an open attitude. Those are a couple of behaviors right there that we're trying to talk more and more about. So, you know, let's come out of a little rabbit hole again. I so appreciate you, John, and the role. My daddy was a lineman in the 60s for Public Service of Indiana, pre-OSHA, you know, storm restoration with a suicide mission. So to see how far we've come and to be a part of that, even yourself, like I say, just kind of being an advocate to, you know, being smart about emotions. You know, backing out of this a little bit, I did get your, what's the message to our old dogs out there? Because we've been doing this a while. What's the message that we try to embrace a new way of thinking and embrace this new generation? What's the message?
It's hard to do because, you know, like, I'm 56 now, right? So when I came up, there wasn't no such thing as social media, right?
Right.
Social media was the phone hanging in my kitchen with a 20-foot cord. That was it, you know?
X machine.
Yeah. You got out on your bike and you were around, you know, three or four houses, see who wanted to get together and play ball or something. That was it, right?
Right, right.
So to us, things are more, I guess, personally relatable, if that's right, where you're talking to people. Right. You know, I get crap from some people I work with now, because they're like, hey, do you have emails about this or that? And no, I picked up the phone and I called the dude. Well, yeah, but there's no trail. You know, when I called him. So I think for us, social media is not super important to a lot of us older guys. It's super important to these younger kids, and it affects the way they think and do things, where we kind of are like, why would you even care what some dude you don't know in Alaska thinks about what you wore today? Right? Mm-hmm. So the patience piece is hard for us, because we don't get that, how important that social piece is in their life, where for us, it was more about sitting down, talking, hanging out, playing baseball, riding bikes, scraping our knees, you know? Right. I think that's a big difference, where, you know, if I fell down and scraped my knee and went home, you know, they were just like, spray some Bactine on it and get out there.
Get right back out there. Now we're going to coddle you a little bit. Going to set you in the bathtub. I mean,
yep.
Not that baths are bad, man. I take a lot of baths, but.
Oh, no. And, you know, when I lost at baseball, I lost. There was no, we didn't get a trophy because we didn't win.
Absolutely.
And I hate to pick on that piece, but those are the things that I think make it harder for some of the old guys to relate to the young guys, is that we place importance on very different things.
So those are the gaps, or some of them. What's the message here? Because you do it. I mean, just by you doing the podcast, you know, the way you teach, the way you train, the way you interact with not just your instructors, but your line workers, or again, your splicers. You know, if I profiled you, I know you'd be loaded with EQ. Again, these are behaviors that we engage in every day. What's the message to somebody that's having to navigate all these gaps? How do you do it?
I think it, for me, I'm still who, I still do it the way I would normally do it. I just, it's who I am, right? And just be real about it. The patronizing piece is what turns a lot of people off, right?
Right.
Listen to me, young man. I've been around and I'm telling you that this is what we should be doing. Right. So if you just do this, not, nobody wants to though.
Kind of talking down to a little bit.
Yeah, when I was a kid, don't patronize me and talk to me like I'm two. That set me off in a heartbeat. I think you got to try to raise them up a little bit to a level more than where they're at. But at the same time, just be honest and real about this is what we're supposed to be doing. Come up here a little bit. Think about what I'm telling you. Let's talk about it and go through it. But not talk down, which that little middle area there can be kind of hard.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about the communication piece, which is a wild card for all of us, you know, the different personality styles and how do you adapt? I remember I failed miserably on one of my first leadership questions, and that is, do you treat everybody the same? And I did not come from an everybody gets a trophy generation, right? But I thought, yeah. But you don't, you know, you don't. You have to learn to adapt. And that's that communication piece, again, comes out of human performance. So I think you're hitting on a big part of, you know, when we go to emotional intelligence and you look at relationship management, ego management, mindfulness, relationship, accountability, you know, those behaviors all play into what you're talking about sending the clear, sincere message, looking, you know, just like you said on the tape, I'm going to put my initials. I want you to clear check and put your initials. You know, creating that environment where you can exchange the information. I think that's so critical, bro. So critical.
Yeah, and I kind of moving on to a little bigger picture piece. You know, when I came up, my mom and dad made sure that I understood that we did nothing in life to hurt, quote unquote, the greater good of things, right? You weren't just mean to someone because of how they looked or anything else. That's not right. It hurts the greater good. So for me, when everyone started talking about this mindfulness about treating people equally and all these other things, I was like, I think I learned that when I was like four. It was called the greater good. We don't harm the greater good. And that's, I still live by that fact, you know?
Absolutely.
I see someone walking around dressed like a fool. I'm not going to laugh at him and go, dude, go to the tailor. You know, it's not my thing. Yes, I'll occasionally throw some shit at people I know and love, but you know, I want to just generally pick on people I don't know. I don't say terrible things to people. Try not to be abrasive.
Because
probably have in my life, but you know.
As I'm listening to you, man, I mean, I'm being, you know, pictures of being out in the playground as a young boy, you know, on the monkey bars and trying to compete to, you know, you want the ball, but you can't have the ball. You got to wait on your turn to play with the ball. I mean, a lot of that stuff, and again, we learn that about emotional intelligence. A lot of times we learn the behaviors just trying to get through the day, get through the school, get through the parents, the family, the career. We develop these behaviors or skills that help us navigate it. So, you know, I think you speak a lot of wisdom, brother. Making a lot of wisdom. You know, I want to kind of back out of the little hole here. I'm so grateful for your time. Again, I know you're all the way over in Puerto Rico, so you're on the job. You know, you got to give me a funny. I got that one from you. We got to get a little humor going on here, man. Because like you said, I mean, when we talk about this stuff, people think we're just too serious sometimes, you know, we're just too serious. You got to lighten up. So tell me a funny, man. Give me one. And don't tell me one about the kid in the truck and the truck being more valuable, because that was a cracker. I appreciated that one. Give me another one.
So I'll make this one slightly more politically correct than it actually was at the time. I'm working in a manhole in Evanston. And we're doing lead splice, sweating lead, you know, hot molten lead, three ladles of solder going at it. And the guy I was working with was not going to stay. And another guy was going to come in as his relief guy. But the guy who was a relief guy was not a guy I liked, right? He was very patronizing. Mr. Perez, you understand that today we're going to go and do this? Do you clearly understand me? Oh, we did not get along at all. So in the manhole doing my thing, I hear him come down the ladder. not only was he patronizing, dude was a chain smoker. And I mean chain smoker, like 3 packs a day.
Okay.
But every cigarette that went in his face, this literally was it. Every single time it went in his mouth. Every time. Oh, made me nuts.
We call those stressors triggers.
Yeah. So sweating lead, he comes down to Manhole and goes, "So, Mr. Perez, does your wife have nice breasts?"
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of quiet. I turned around and went, "You want to rephrase the question, or you want to wear a couple ladles full of hot solder?" He goes, "No." He goes, "But if you get hot solder in your eyeball, will you ever see them again if you can't see?
Just back your glasses.
I have never been without safety glasses since. Like, never. Hated that dude, but the message stuck.
What a point of reference, though, to make a point, right?
Right. And I'm thinking, we're fighting right here in this manhole. We're going at it.
That's crazy. You know, as I'm listening to you today, the way we try to help, not just the young and old, but, you know, the introvert that doesn't share or talk that much, but yet, like you said, may know it all. And then there's the other guy that's talking way too damn much. And most times they don't have a fucking clue about what's going on, but you know, these personality styles and, you know, right along, John, with the EQ stuff, which is cool, 'cause we can learn it. Some of us again have, there's the personality style. It came out in the '70s, and that's just another model that if you want to, you just want to learn to get along with somebody better. You know, again, learning first your style, but then what's theirs. And again, the EQ component comes in, and me being willing to recognize mindfulness, empathy, and trying to adapt to their style. So that son of a bitch would have been in eating cigarettes at any other given time. But again, just the style. I think that's the point there. Sometimes people have a very odd style that requires us to be emotionally intelligent about it. Otherwise, we get our little panties in a wad.
Yeah. And we, speaking of introverts, in one of our last classes, we had a young kid who was very introverted. I mean, like getting 2 words out of him a day was nearly impossible. He was just quiet. And not that other guys were picking on him, but they were like, "Hey, start talking, start engaging," you know, and he was just, just kind of quiet. Right. And so we're going over homework one day, and I looked and I go, "Hey," I said something. I'm like, "How do you spell that word again?" And just out of the blue, he looks at me and he goes, "You expect the kid with double dyslexia to spell a word?" And I was like, "What? Excuse me?" But like suddenly he just came out of his shell. He's like, he started talking. We found out, as crazy as it sounds, his favorite movie was Full Metal Jacket, which for a young kid, an odd reference.
Right.
But like suddenly starts popping out of a shell. And it was just cool.
Were you in a group at the time, or was it just you and him?
No, it was all of us.
Yeah.
That's why it was surprising. Just like all of a sudden he just opened up about, trying to learn in our business when you have dyslexia for numbers and words. That's hard.
Yeah. Again, the disorders, you know, those are real. If you're going to run with the herd, you got to develop the skills. If you have the disorder, you got to work a little harder to develop the skill. That's my development attitude on that. But, oh my goodness. You were saying something. Oh, I know. I just got back from Mo Valley. We were doing a bunch of train to trainers. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, when you do the knowledge transfer in the classroom, and then I'm an engager like you. I know you engage your students. So again, I'm with these trainers. I had like 15 trainers, and there was one in the center of the room. Didn't get much out of him. But I would say this, and this goes to the personality style, and more so those of us that are listening, when you're dealing with a personality or individual, these are the models that you can refer to that make sense out of things. Again, personality styles or emotional intelligence, but same thing. We got to the point at the end where I have one page. I said, "Look, this is everything I taught you today. Let's go around and cherry pick." And so, you know, 14 guys go around and a couple of ladies comes to him. Now this is, again, it's an open book interaction. Here's the things I taught you. Pick one and just speak to it freely. Deer in the headlight, right? So afterwards, when it's just the two of us, then he comes up. I can't get him to quiet down. Right. I'm trying to pack up my stuff. You know, you got a schedule to keep. But again, just another example of a behavior of a personality style. So that's a notable for all of us that are, if you're tasked with raising people or just working alongside of people, recognizing the emotional intelligence and these personality styles make a huge difference, man. Huge difference.
Completely. And also if it's like we've had some of our classes are long, 4 weeks, 16 weeks. The dynamics within the personalities becomes important too. Because when you're, you know, we do our training down at the Lazy Q, you're at the Lazy Q for that extended period of time. So within that month, 14 weeks, personalities start to stir, people get emotions, you know, they get mad at each other. And that's fine. That is part of life, but manage those things too. You see that little bit of conflict brewing, don't let it become the giant conflict. You know, say, hey, let's either sit down and talk about this, or you guys all right? And sometimes it is just a quick check. Hey, you guys all right? You need help getting along? And they'll be like, no. They'll get over it, you know? Well, so you got to watch for those things too.
Absolutely. Again, we're calling it the human factor, and that's just because humans are emotional creatures, and we're going to get emotional about it. So again, as I listen to you, and in the bottom of the paragraph it says skills required, right? Skills required, brother. I can't thank you enough, man, for making some time with us. We definitely got to do this again.
For sure, man. Let me know when you're available, traveling or not. I mean, I know we're both on the road a lot, but I'm sure we got some time to get together. Next time we're going to talk about cigars and bourbon too.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'd rather just sit one and smoke one with you. So coming to a theater near you.
Hell yeah. Except we'll be blocking out this face because nobody wants to do that.
I love it. Now listen, you be safe over there. Keep everybody else safe, my brother.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
All right, soon. God bless.
Thank you for participating in this podcast event, EQ for Life. EQ for Life is a podcast based on your views as a parent, a companion, an entrepreneur or business leader, and how learning to be smart about emotions plays out in everyday life. To learn more about the EQ for Life podcast or Parrish, please contact us online at info@parrishowentaylor.com or call 866-487-2815. That's 866-487-2815.